Hey, what's going on? This is your co-host, Timmy Two Times.
Hey, yo, it's Ray.
And this is Jeremy. Welcome to our world.
What's up, Mr. Saul? What do you got for us today?
Well. It's another week, man. Let's get this going.
First, Denver becomes the first city to approve psychedelic mushrooms.
Denver, it's too soon, guys.
Jesus, take a break. Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders are now going to tackle the credit card interest rate. They are calling it a moral crisis. Apparently, free credit cards for everyone is the new socialist platform. Democratic platform. And finally, we're going to cover more Game of Thrones spoilers, by the way, Tim.
Yeah. No spoilers.
Dany will die.
No spoilers.
You heard it here first.
If she dies, she dies.
If she dies. I'm your host, Saul, and we'll cover all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. All right, Ray.
Alrighty.
What is going on in the Crazy Ray Chronicles?
Alrighty. So today I have a couple of things. One of them I actually talked to you guys about earlier this week because when I saw it, I just couldn't stop myself from sending it to you guys. But Arizona is saying that porn is poisoning young minds, and Arizona legislator declares porn a public health crisis.
Okay.
Porn can be a problem.
It can be
a problem. I don't know if I'd call it a crisis.
Yeah,
people are throwing these words around willy-nilly, and they're not. That's not the definition of a crisis, right?
So my thing is, okay, they deemed it a crisis, but what do they? They have no plan to do anything. They just deemed it a crisis. They can't start blocking it.
What is it called? It's a non-binding declaration. It really doesn't do anything. They're just saying, hey, we don't approve. Something's going on.
Okay, well, that's fine, but it's not a crisis.
This is the amateur. Phoenix is the amateur porn capital of the world, apparently. So
wait. Where'd you find that at?
Oh, yeah, no. Wait,
what?
I read that a couple years ago that Phoenix is like number one for amateur porn. Yeah, because a lot of them do, because ASU, big party school, so a lot of them get the ASU girls, and there was a whole big thing about that in New Times a couple of years ago.
Scottsdale participating heavily in that.
Well, they went around and telling them, hey, you want to be a model, you look beautiful, and oh, yeah. And so they go, and all of a sudden, the camera starts rolling, they do some crazy things.
So this is getting in the way back machine, but didn't California pass some sort of law where... Oh, I can't even remember what it is now. Something like you had to wear condoms in porn. So they're like, all right, let's move one state over and get this shit going.
Yeah, to stop the AIDS epidemic that was happening in porn. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually happening or not, but
they do tests now.
Yeah, I thought they did tests all the time.
Right, but at one point they tried doing the whole condom thing too, and they did.
Yeah, well, California strikes again.
Okay.
Okay, guys. I think it's a declaration.
What are we gonna do about it?
Tim, you need to show your search results, their history.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm incognito mode all the time.
What is that? I see that, but I don't know what it is
for your browser.
It's so that it doesn't keep it in your history, so that if you go back through history, you're not gonna be able to find it.
Yeah. Oh, so last weekend, I forget where I was at. I've been going through my Google searches trying to find something, and all of a sudden, I was like, wow, I thought I got rid of that. Abby, you just see this. And I was like, is anybody looking over me right now? I was like, uh-oh, there's family around and everything. I was like, uh-oh, no, this ain't good.
This was back in 26. What happened?
Dude, it's dangerous. But, porn's for everybody.
It is.
Stop.
Alrighty, so the next one I have is a child finds $40,000 worth of meth in a Lego box from a consignment shop.
Oh.
Okay, wait. Repeat that one more time.
A child.
How old is this child?
Yeah. It never stated the age of the child.
Oh, it could have been a 17-year-old.
It also didn't say, but the Legos are like for a young kid, like baby toy Legos, not like legitimate. Like,
I know a lot of people play with Legos.
Dude, I love Legos.
But it's not like the Indiana Jones or the Star Wars one. It's like the big mega blocks, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
the Mall of America, we were just out there with the Lego store, man.
Timmy Two Times and I were just flew back from Minnesota, and we were at the Mall of America, and they have a huge Lego. They got helicopters and huge fighting robots. I've been there.
I seen it.
Yeah.
Dude, it hasn't changed. It's the same exact one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
that was kind of freaky.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
What is that huge one that they have?
It's like a
the biggest one.
Battle robot or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it almost looks like a Transformer robot, right? Almost. I thought it was Optimus Prime.
I thought so too.
But I don't think
no,
it
no,
is.
No, because it has a Lego guy like in the chest. Okay. So it's
probably like a
battle robot or something. Yeah.
They had their own TV show about it, and I can't remember what it is now.
Robot Chicken?
Voltron?
No.
You talking about Voltron?
Voltron.
Anyways, back to the meth.
Yeah. So explain this. So he found $40,000 worth of meth?
Yeah, it was in a consignment shop. So like the mom bought it for the kid, handed it to him, like left him alone, and then like the kid was like, this isn't Legos, like upset, like this isn't Legos.
Mommy, these Legos don't fit together.
Yeah, but I guess like the reasoning behind it is like the sheriff's office basically stated that when drug dealers try to send illicit packages through the mail, they often pick abandoned addresses, hoping that someone can pick it up. So that it doesn't really necessarily go to anybody in particular, and then somebody just goes and like picks it up.
Porch pirated. Yeah.
So somebody probably stole it and was like, "What the hell is this? Legos? Get the fuck out of here! Like, I don't want this." And then just consigned it, and then
there you go.
They lost $40,000. Wow. But then also as a drug dealer, like that's a risky thing
to
do.
Okay, because they bought the thing.
Yeah.
What did the little kid do with it? Did he sell it too?
I don't know. He didn't take it. I mean, I guess he was
the
a
cop sold it.
Rat.
They were going to pop some tags, and he found some meth.
Take it to Denver. Apparently, it's about to be legal soon. So go ahead.
Take it to Seattle, where it's already legal.
That's true.
Alrighty, and with the last one is another drug related one. Weird theme we have today. So where is it? Vernon, Indiana. The sheriff sent out a statement basically stating, attention all drug dealers. It's just stating sheriff encourages drug dealers to turn in their competition. So it says, too much competition bringing you down. Are you not making the profits you once did? We're here to help eliminate your competition. And it literally just says, my competition is blah, blah, blah. And the drug sold. My competition lives here. Plate number and state, times and days of the highest activity.
Does the sheriff not realize that snitches get stitches?
When it's a battle against each other,
I wonder if that's going to work.
I don't know. I'm so curious to see if it would.
I would love to see a follow-up on this in a year from now, right?
I would totally be that person.
You'd be...
I would be like dirty. I'd be like, I don't even care.
You'd narc on everybody.
No, they're my enemies. They're not helping me out by any. If anything, they're hurting me. So
yeah, but now it makes it a lot easier. If you get rid of all your competition, you're the only one. You got all the targets on you from the cops.
Nope, that's why you just get rid of the big ones.
Oh, geez.
Oh, dear Lord.
Keep around the small ones.
You know you have law enforcement.
I'm kidding.
I know.
You know that. Right? I'm getting a little scared over here. I'm going to sit on the other side of the table.
This is not good, guys.
Scoot over, Timmy. Scoot over.
Hold me.
I'm scared.
But I thought that one was rather interesting. I'm still wondering if it's going to actually work or not. It's the form has been out since May 1st. Hmm. And so far, there's no word on how many submissions that have been made. But also, if you just didn't like somebody, you could also just put them down on it. Like, I don't like my neighbor.
They still have to do their investigation.
He sells drugs between 4
they still
got to
investigate.
Absolutely. You know, but then this guy is going to be under police surveillance no reason. You know, it'd be great.
It's a great idea.
I'm gonna put you on there, Rachel. Yeah.
What does it cost the sheriff's office to do that? Right, it costs them an hour to type up something PDF, put it on the website, and tell people, "Hey, if you want to turn in your drug dealing counterparts, do it." You know, you're talking.
People will do it.
How many jealous folks are going to be using this as a way to,
revenge?
Keep an eye on my.
Do it to your ex.
Oh Jesus!
This bitch.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the cops are doing the investigation, not the people. So even if you did it for your ex, you can't go around following the cops.
It might inundate might inundate them with a bunch of bogus reports.
Yeah, it could be bogus.
But. That or it would just make them paranoid. Realistically, like there's no real harm unless they are actually like buying drugs and selling it, you know,
you
or killing somebody. State, they could murder somebody.
You go from one state that says turn all the drug dealers in to another state that says, we're going to start legalizing everything or we're going to decriminalize it. It's crazy how drugs is becoming a really hot topic in all these different states.
Mm-hmm.
But
the big social experiment.
Yeah, Darwinism at its finest.
Well, I mean, that's why the states have a purpose, man. They're testing grounds. Does it work? Does it not?
Right.
We'll see.
I hope they learn from what they're seeing.
Right? I hope they don't expect us to bail them out when they realize that half the population is on it.
That's exactly what they're expecting.
Yeah, no, I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Anyways, I know we're moving on to a different conversation, but go ahead.
Take it away.
Man, you that's life for you this week.
There wasn't a lot of good news.
No more parrots in Brazil.
I know. I wish there was.
Parrots in Brazil.
All my fire went out last time.
Every other week. All right, we got you.
So we're holding open enrollment positions for Ray's position. If anyone wants to...
Open mic Fridays.
Open mic Fridays. Go ahead and send an email to
thesaltyshow@gmail.com. Jinx. Anyway, so on to another drug-related story. In the city of Denver, they voted narrowly to approve a ballot to decriminalize...
Do you have these facts? Do you know along what party lines...
No,
I didn't look at the party lines. I bet you anything it went along party lines.
Yeah, I didn't look, but I'm pretty sure it's not the...
Okay, so guys, mushrooms, in your opinion, psychedelic
drugs. Basically...
Anybody done them?
No, I have.
I know a lot of people that have.
How do you actually pronounce
that? No, I know a lot of people that have. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. It's not addictive, right? Is it?
I mean,
every drug's addictive.
Well, not every, but any can. Okay.
What I'm saying is that I'm saying there's people, like, if you do whatever, certain types of drugs, you're addicted from the get. Like, there's no, do you know what I'm saying?
I think there's some people that do mushrooms are addicted to it, right? But I kind of understand the article. I'm not saying I agree with it, but...
Sorry, I interrupted you. So go ahead and read what it says.
So basically, you know, a slim majority voted 50.56 in favor of what they call Ordinance 301. And what it does is it doesn't legalize psychedelic mushrooms, but it effectively bars the city from prosecuting or arresting adults 21 or older who possess them. First of all, are they treating this like alcohol? Like if you're an 18-year-old kid, you go to jail?
No, because alcohol is different. Because alcohol, you can serve it in restaurants. I think, like it says, they're not going to prosecute it. So they're just
adults 21 and older. So if you're,
it's a ticket.
Yeah, if you're still underage,
what are they going to do with a minor?
I don't know.
Legal, it's
well, 18,
ticket.
You're still an but adult. You still minor. Get tried and federally.
Yeah, I mean, there's that 18 to 21.
Yeah, which I mean,
3-year range.
I don't know the difference between 18 and 21 at that point for this, but anyway, But again, it decriminalizes it from you getting arrested. But the DEA said it is still a class one, and they will move marijuana.
Well, the federal government.
I mean, and they're gonna see. This is the problem once you start going down this path: is where do we draw the line? What drug? Do we stop there? Why not Coke?
All of them.
So I gotta say, why not Coke? So again, there is something about mushrooms, and I've heard this for a very long time from other people that I know that are really into drugs. They study this stuff, and that's one of the things they wanted to get into was growing mushrooms because there is a health. There's a medical reason behind this, but you gotta remember, like MDMA and all that got started based on the military, and it was working, and then it just spread like wildfire. But they use that drug to cure a lot of like PTSD and all that way back in like the 60s and whatnot. So a lot of drugs that we see now were derivatives of what were created back in, you know, the government created this stuff to help.
I think it's common knowledge that Coke was part of Coke, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Lidocaine is a derivative of cocaine.
There you go.
So
then again, back to the question: Where do we draw the line?
It's tough. Where do you draw the line?
Because here's the you don't. So you're a libertarian. You take the libertarian approach.
I'm total, complete libertarian.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, because by us saying it's not illegal, we're kind of saying it's okay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it's just not criminalized. So you still get it's like a speeding ticket.
Right. But what we're saying is that. We're taking away the stigma from it, right? We're saying, hey, this is whatever you choose. Now, I'm all for that. If along with that we say, then guess what? We will not pay your medical bills when you fucking overdose and do some stupid shit with that drug. So, by all means, then go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the problem is
that's
not happening.
But also, let's say, having a job would affect it as well. Like if your job does a drug test, like there's nothing prohibiting them from state. Like even right now with like medical marijuana, like if you test for marijuana, even if you have a card, certain places won't hire you.
Right.
So it would kind of police itself in that aspect. And it would also put more of an emphasis on trying to raise your kids to not.
But I get what they're trying to do from a medical standpoint, because it's supposed to help with, you know, depression and things like that. So all these kids, they're trying to combat the opiate problem. Yeah, opiate crisis in this country. So this is the alternative to...
You don't think that we're just pushing it further, right? Because people have that, oh, let me go stand at the edge of what's legal. And when you're saying, okay, well, all this stuff is legal, well, what's something further beyond that? And I think we're just moving the line. And as we're moving the line, people are like, well, I want to step over that line. And then stepping over that line is going to be that one drug that somebody, the first time you do it, you're addicted to it.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think we have to, that's why I said too soon, Denver. Too soon, because you know what I'm saying?
Like, we're just getting through the marijuana thing.
Let's pace ourselves when it comes to this stuff, because, you know, we can say, well, whatever, there's medical reasons. Yeah, dude, we can bring any doctor or any study that's going to say, hey, guess what? Meth can be used for whatever. Yeah. This, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm going a little bit overboard, but right now we're at this level, and it's just we're just moving the line. Right.
Yeah. So the question.
And I think it's dangerous.
Where do you draw the line?
Well, I mean, there's countries in Europe that
we still haven't seen the repercussions of legalizing marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm somebody who said, you know what, let's legalize it. I did. I support it, and I'm like, you know what, legalize it. But let's see the results. Let's see what happens.
Right.
Give
we
it some time.
We need to see what happens to society and what it costs us, right? Everyone thinks that, oh, yeah, just legalize it and that's great. But the problem is you are going to have people that have a problem with that. And who's going to get stuck paying for their medical bills or whatever? Right. And it's the taxpayers. So, you know, the question is, do you tax it at a significant rate so that any of those unexpected expenses are paid by this tax? And you know, the question is, where do you draw that line?
And I agree with you.
How do you regulate? How do you control that?
It's
we're opening it up a can of worms.
Right. You could start out saying, well, we're going to tax us at 3%, and you know, we're going to put that money into an account. And anytime someone shows up at a hospital with any sort of marijuana related whatever, we're going to take money out of that to pay for it. Well, is that too much? Is it not enough? You know, do we have to look at it every year and go, okay, well, last year we spent 10% versus the 3 that we collected. So now we need to raise it to 10. And then 2 years later, it's like, well, we only used 5%. So now we got, you know, are we playing this back and forth game?
But why aren't they doing that with alcohol? There's a lot of people that die or end up in the hospital for drinking. Yeah. And you can actually die from withdrawal of it.
You got to remember, alcohol is taxed. That's why.
Look.
Let's be real.
You can actually, like, alcohol is one of the few drugs that you can actually die from withdrawal. That and benzos.
I agree.
Both
with
of
you.
Which are legal.
Yes.
And all of these drugs that you can't die from withdrawal if you're addicted to it are illegal. So therefore, why is alcohol legal?
Well, because it's not just a matter of the dying from withdrawal. There's all the side effects. Just look at, you know, Seattle, LA, San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, The cities are falling apart because the government either chose not to do anything about it or can't afford to do anything about it. And so the answer to tax that to compensate for the increased, you know, costs involved in having this in your cities.
But alcohol is still attributed to the most deaths out of all.
It's probably the most used product.
I don't know the numbers behind that.
No, I don't know the number, but everything I've ever seen, it said alcohol, because more people drink than do heroin, than do MDMA, than do acid.
You can't go to your local Italian restaurant and get
crack,
a marijuana cigarette or a crack pipe or whatever.
Like
you know?
I said,
but you can get a bottle of wine.
Here's
no
my
problem.
Deal. Like Rachel, if we're going to take the libertarian approach, then let's take the complete libertarian approach.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get government out of freaking paying for medical cost. If you are going to experiment and drink all as much alcohol or do as much weed or as much mushrooms as you want, then you forfeit your right to
medical treatment.
Medical treatment if you abuse it. And that's my thing. It's like, let's
let's not be blind about it, because the second that that person suffers some liver issue because of the alcohol or some mental issue because of the weed or, we are paying as a taxpayer. Now we are subsidizing this type of behavior.
Are you talking about a long-term effect, like alcoholism, you have liver problems, things like that? Right. Or are you talking like immediate, this guy just overdosed on crack, and if we don't give him adrenaline or whatever, he's going to die?
No. By all means, if a hospital is going to provide it, they should. But we're not going to pay for it as a taxpayer. In other words, I'm not going to come in and bail you out and pay for it.
The problem we run into with that is that the medical industry is one of those weird things where it's not, you can't really.
So
consider a capitalistic endeavor, because you are required to offer your service whether they can pay for it or not.
That's the Hippocratic Oath, right?
Exactly,
there.
And that
skews things drastically when you come to talking about like even healthcare or whatever.
And that's the problem that I have with people who are like, I should have the ability to choose whatever drugs I want to do. Great.
Right.
Great.
Okay.
But now all of a sudden, now you're demanding and you can't afford to pay your medical bills. If you are this nonchalant approach to drugs, then you should be this nonchalant approach to dying from abusing it. Right. You know what I'm saying?
But all of a sudden, these
people will come out and try to pull at your heartstrings and like, but you should have compassion. Well, come on, man. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, where's the compassion for me? I got to feed my kids. I got to take, you know.
What's up, Brady?
Drugs, the number one most common death from it is actually from prescription drugs currently.
Yeah. Oh, that
abuse,
right,
which are completely legal. Right. Hold on.
Let her finish her thought.
Let me finish it really fast.
Okay, finish your thought.
So deaths from opioids are 47,000 a year right now. In 2017, it was 47,000. Alcohol is 88,000. So it's almost double.
Mm. So alcohol still is number one.
Yeah. No, you just said
prescription, 47,000
prescriptions, drugs.
But that's excluding alcohol. So alcohol alone was differentiated from it.
It's still number one.
Right. But so when you say
it's separate,
so that's kind of misleading, because when you say prescription drugs, right, that just that's a classification of a drug. Right. So whether you're actually getting
legal
that drug, if you're getting that drug from your doctor, for legitimate reasons, you get a root canal or whatever, and he gives you Vicodin, you take that for a month and then you're fine. But then you have these people that you hear stories where they're taking 100 of them a day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's still classified as a prescription drug problem, right?
Yeah,
a prescription
absolutely.
Drug death.
Right.
So you've got this category of prescription drugs that are being skewed into people who are legitimately using them based on what their doctor recommends. I seriously doubt those people are dying from prescription drugs.
Well, but that's
right. It's the prescription drugs that are abusing them.
Yeah,
you got to clarify
exactly.
On that.
No,
exactly.
I mean, there's still the cases where people can die from it legally, having a normal prescription. It just,
but that's they're not the norm. Percentages that are irrelevant.
Well, she's more of the medical profession than we are. I'll finish.
So we had a patient that it's a whole messy story, but she was going through a divorce, but she was taking fentanyl patches. And this was maybe about 10 years ago. She'd been taking them for 8 years, never had a problem. And then at some point when the divorce got messy, they found her dead with 2 fentanyl patches on her. And she always knew only one. One of them was in a spot that she physically couldn't reach, in between the middle of her shoulder blades, basically.
Okay, so somebody killed her.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's also the occurrence of that, which happens, but
there's still the norm.
But he was never convicted.
Such a small percentage.
Right.
I mean, this,
most of the people.
When you say prescription drugs are the number one killer of drug users or whatever, that's people abusing it.
Absolutely.
And to call it a prescription drug
problem,
but it
happens so easy.
That's not even realistic.
Because back in the day, one doctor got sued for not adequately treating a patient's pain.
Mm-hmm.
So he got sued, and then it put the fear of death into all providers where they're God, I'm going to lose my practice.
We need tort reform.
Legislation
cannot just sue. You know what I mean? There needs to be, and I blame this on judges who take on these cases. And there's corruption from top to bottom when it comes to that, the medical industry. Now, I know there's some people who do it, who get into this field out of love, but just like any other industry,
it's money.
There are people there and people have a problem. Human beings are not innately good. People have to learn how to be good. And in every profession, there are people who abuse the system everywhere.
Well,
and that's what we're trying to address here, right? We're saying, look, we can legalize this, and we can say great, but then we have to. It's a double-edged sword.
We have to take into consideration what is it going to cost society when we legalize.
And nobody asks that question. Everybody wants their right to be able to do whatever they want, but they don't want the consequences of being able to do whatever they want.
If the medical, because most of the concern, well, I guess part of the concern is the medical responses, right? You know, we're going to have an increase in people overdosing. They're going to be showing up at the hospitals. They're going to be, they're not going to be able to afford to pay these medical bills. But you also have like the situation that we discussed in Seattle. These people are living on the streets, they're right. Shitting all over the city, they're pissing all over the city, pooping. They're biting police officers, they're fighting with police officers, they're stealing. Right. I mean, these are all expenses that the society is paying for when they decide to legalize these things, and they need to be taken into account.
Right. Here's my thing, Denver, you forfeit your rights to some federal funding. No, I'm serious. When it comes to drug related issues. I mean, I'm sure the federal government funnels a lot of money to all these states, but here's the deal. You're legalizing this stuff. You better be prepared to suffer the consequences.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And is that paid for by taxing the product of the people that are using it, right?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, right? Because when we talk about debts and opioids and things like that, people used to take Prozac like it was nothing, right? But then all of a sudden, people start getting this bright idea, especially kids. Oh, I can crush this up and snort it like cocaine. Now you're taking your normal prescription and now snorting it. That's a completely different absorption into your body and everything. And kids were dying from that. So to your point, they were, to Rachel's point, people were dying taking it the way they should, with a normal prescription, not abusing it. They just started taking it in a completely different way.
When your doctor tells you take it orally twice a day is different than chopping up 20 pills and snorting it up your nose with your friends.
Right, but then parents were also suing for that. And you know what I mean?
That's where the tort reform comes in, saying, sorry, your child did this. Right.
You should have been more.
You did not follow the instructions that are clearly written on the bottle.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, it's just, there's so many different scenarios here, and it's just, it just seems like we're adding more, and I get this might counteract taking that, and it will help a lot of people. But there's also the same people that are on the streets when they get their hands on this, they're still the problem. The people that do things in their own home and go to work every day, or they're doing it for the right reasons, they don't have a problem. We went to Denver. We've been all over this country, going to every major city, and to be honest with you, almost every single liberal city that we went to, all you saw was bums all over the street.
Dude, that's one of the things that I was so disappointed in Denver about.
And drug addicts all over. Like it's crazy.
We're driving right into downtown. Now, it may have been the route we took. I don't know.
It was right next to the stadium. It was like, here's the stadium.
Right next to the stadium. Yeah. And right next door. Just lines and lines of just the homelessness, dude. And I look at Tim and I'm like, what the hell?
So when you say homeless, you're talking about people that are showing signs of drug addiction?
Everything. There was everything. So
you hear lots of stories about, at least I've heard lots of stories about homeless people. I'm like, oh, they're just people that are down on their luck, and their families. There's dads that have lost their jobs and they're living in their cars. And whenever you actually talk to people who have gone, like reporters and things like that, that have actually gone into that world, they're like, no, that's bullshit. 99% of these people are drug addicts. These are people who have chosen drugs over houses and drugs over jobs.
Right.
And the people that, I'm sure there's one or two people out there that are living in their car because, the steel mill closed down in their little city or their town or whatever, right? But the majority of, when you say homelessness in Denver, homelessness in Seattle, homelessness in LA, it is not because the job that they had is gone now. It's because they've chosen drugs over everything else.
So let me ask you this. Is addiction a disease to you?
So that's a loaded question.
No. Yeah. I mean, think about it, right? If you tried drugs once and you get addicted to it and it psychologically gets you hooked, what do you do? You know what I mean? Because it's hard. If you never do something, you never know. But once you do it and you get addicted and you go down that rabbit hole, once you're an addict, it's not easy. You're always an addict. Whether you're in recovery or not, you are still an addict. So how do you, like to your point, there are a lot of drugs, they all chose drugs over their house. if you're an addict, you will always choose your addiction. So do we try to help fix the disease?
I don't necessarily think that. I think it depends on the type of addiction, if it's mental versus physical. Because when I had my tonsils and I had a deviated septum fixed. And because they did both at the same time, I had to take opiates for a month. And then my body became physically addicted to it. That doesn't mean I'm going to go back to taking opioids. If anything, it deters me because it was the worst thing ever.
But there's some people that love that feeling. There's a lot of people.
I did too. I absolutely loved it. Don't get me wrong. It's great. Like the one time in my life that I don't feel fucking pain every day. Yeah. It's great. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I'm always going to be predisposed to going back to it. I think it would be unnatural to think that people don't like the feeling of any of it.
Well, so I
think it depends on if it is more of like that physical chemical addiction versus a mental addiction, because people can become addicted to like working out. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Addicted to porn, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's to my point. But there's a reason why there's addicts. Like there's millions and millions of drug addicts, right? It's not, it's the chemical that gets them, right? Like, and I know for a fact, the only reason why I've never really done any crazy drugs is because I know I have an addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
So my choice is to not even try. When people are like, oh, live a little bit. You don't know. No. I know myself. I don't even want to put myself in a position to do that.
Everyone needs to.
It's a struggle because, I mean, I've said it, you know, even about smoking. Like I have chemical addictions, right? I can stop drinking, no problem. Because I associate drinking with going out and hanging out. But I could stop drinking. If I never had another drink, I'm going to be okay. But like with cigarettes and the nicotine, that drug, that's that. And I see how I get, you know, sometimes where I'm like foaming. I'm like, dude, I need to go buy a cigarette. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's a little cigarette. Now take something that does even crazier to your mind and alters you in a completely different state, like heroin and crack. And I mean, I watch people go from jonesing and shaking to taking that pipe and smoking it. And they're just like in euphoria. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they wake up, they feel like crap. But now they're jonesing again. You know what I mean? So
chasing the dragon, right?
It's a slippery slope because I've been around a lot of addicts, a lot of recovering, watched them go back, watched them, a lot of people died. So it's hard, right, to just say, they're POSs. I'm pretty sure most of them were nice people. It's just the addiction has taken them over. And once that happens, man, your brain is on a different path. So yeah, I'm not saying, I don't know what the right answer is, because until you can say, I can eliminate this problem, this is always going to be a problem. And whether you throw funds at it or not,
here's one of those things where there's a level of hypocrisy from one side that's pushing for this, because we know this is predominantly, maybe there's some libertarian, but this is predominantly from the other side, the liberal side, that's pushing for this, that they're saying, hey, you know, we need to allow this level or this amount of freedom when it comes to drugs.
Right.
But when it comes to other liberties, they're like, well, no. And let me give an example. Guns, for example.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say, oh, we need to ban guns because that's what's going to stop school shootings. And at the same time, it's like, okay, well, using your logic, then shouldn't we ban drugs because that's what's going to stop drug abuse? And there's no answer to that. Yeah, right. So my question is.
So I guess my question to you would be, when you take your two examples, right, the drug abuse problems and gun problems, which one of those two problems is going to get government support?
I'll tell you this one. One of them, you inflict pain on yourself. The other one, you see what I'm saying? You're using that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, therefore, because you're doing this to yourself, you should be held accountable for your choices that you're doing to yourself.
Well, they're both inflict. Yeah. OK. Yeah.
True. I mean, I don't mean to bring this up, but yeah, apparently somebody, my neighbor, shot himself. And
yeah, we heard that.
When the cops showed up, they're asking me questions. They're like, did you hear anything? And I'm like, you start like thinking about what happened.
Yeah.
First of all, I got what the freak? Like, right. Which one was it? To this point, I still don't know which one it was, but I'm sure I ran into him because I know every single one of it's this one right here.
Okay.
And I know I've seen him before. I've said hi to him probably, but I still, to this point, I don't know which one it was. And, you know, when the cops come over and they're like, dude, the guy next to you
who slept there while I'm sleeping also,
right,
he slept
literally 6 inches worth of wall away from
you. You see what I'm saying? Like, you start thinking about that stuff. It's like the struggle that people are going, and they're just a few feet away from you.
Yeah, you don't know what.
And you don't know what pains that they're going through. And, you know, he should have reached out. You know what I'm saying? Like, what drives somebody to do something like that? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. There's lots of reasons.
But this is happening, dude. Like, if you read the statistics, and it's men. Men are committing a lot of, the suicide rate in men is going up. And those are the issues that we
should. The suicide rate of men is higher than women?
Yeah. Yeah. And those are things that we need to study. We need to find out. There is a male crisis right now.
I am sure
there is.
I'm sure if you look it up, there is a scientific/medical reason why men do it more than women.
They're trying to take away porn in Arizona.
Oh my God! There, boom.
The real reason.
Boom.
I mean, I had to lighten it up a little bit.
Drop the mic. We're done here.
I'm sorry.
You know what? One of those things. I'm just going to go back to, because it just makes you reflect. I was reflecting on my life, man. I was making dinner,
really,
and I lost my appetite.
Yeah, I can see that.
The
police showed up at your door and knocked and said, "Hey, did you hear anything?" And you're like, "No."
It was a woman, and she didn't like really disclose much, but it was like cops everywhere, you know. And so she was just asking me questions. She's like, "Hey, your neighbor shot himself. Did you hear anything?" And, you know, I guess they're immune to that, right? They deal with that all the time. Your neighbor shot himself, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, when, who, where? What? You know, I'm asking questions. And she's just trying to get facts. She's did you hear anything?
I'm sure there's lots of things she's not allowed to tell you.
Exactly, because they got to investigate.
So they came to you and asked, you know, did you hear anything? But do they know when he did? I mean, you could have been at work.
Could have been a week. That's one of the things.
Could have been 3 days ago.
That's why I asked. I'm like, when? And because I honestly had stayed home that day because I wasn't feeling well. Yeah. Okay. And I remember that earlier in that morning, I heard like thumping, dude, like constant. Like I thought it was sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm thinking, what is it? Right. But then it stopped. It was done. And I went about my day. And then later on that night, like closer to 10, they're like, you know, your neighbor shot himself. Did you hear anything? And I'm like, when? And like, they're like, in the last few days. And I'm like, I hear noises all the time, but I did hear a tapping. And she's like, well, what did it sound like? And I'm like, and honestly, it did sound like a hammer. No. Because it did sound like a hammer. It was too strong.
Hanging a picture or something.
But it went too long. That's what I'm trying to get at. It just went too long.
He had really bad aim.
Yeah. And so anyways, I told her it sounded more like somebody was hammering.
Did he live or is he gone?
No, he committed suicide. Like they had.
And somebody's still living in that?
I don't know, dude.
I thought I heard a dog barking in there when I was smoking a cigarette.
I don't know.
I'll say, you know, so.
She pointed that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's this one or like the one below. I don't know. And so,
So one of my friends, his neighbor committed suicide, and he would talk to his neighbor all the time, and it was kind of like a slow decline that he could see. But of course, it's one of those, like, you don't want to like cry into people's lives. But he actually killed himself in a shoot off with police officers in the apartment complex.
Suicide by police?
No, killed himself before the police got in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a thing where I think it's called suicide by police.
You
get into a situation where the cops show up and you pull out like a cell phone and point it at someone real quick and the cops assume it's a gun and they shoot you.
He killed himself with like a shot. I don't know exactly what. He shot himself. And within 3 weeks, they had the next person living in the apartment complex. In the apartment.
Is this something that they need to
disclose? They don't know. For renters, they don't.
For renting, probably not. I think buying, it might be a requirement for buying.
Yeah.
If you were to buy a house.
I think in Arizona is, but I think it's only if you ask.
I don't know. We need a realtor. Last week, Timmy asked for a lawyer. We need a realtor to call in. The Salty Show at gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, these are some slippery slopes that we're going down, right? So, I mean,
are we allowed to say that?
Slopes? Yeah.
I'm just.
Oh my god! Oh wow!
By the way, guys, the OK sign. Did you hear this?
Is
apparently it's white
racist.
Yeah.
This one? You got the Cubs game.
Yeah,
what?
But because he was this way, he was sideways with it because he tried doing it like
he got
this.
Banned.
Yeah, he got banned from the Cubs game because they're saying it was rights.
Racist?
Something? It's been going on for a while. Ever since 2016, because I looked this up.
I thought it was the below the waist thing.
So yeah, he was. That's what he was doing. He was doing that, basically.
And they said it was a racist.
Anything like this, you know, real
what
quick, anything
to,
like this.
What's that supposed to mean?
No, they're saying now it's the new sign for white supremacy ever since 2016. They're saying,
what?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, no, seriously. I was researching this way back because we were having this conversation.
Nobody knows
about
this bullshit.
Nobody knows this.
Right, but we were having this conversation a couple months ago. And we were like, the OK sign's racist. And we were like, what are you talking about? And we started looking up. I said, and right there in the explanation, it said in 2016, this got classified as.
How long do you think it's going to take Apple to remove that OK sign? Because that's one of the emojis.
Yeah,
emojis.
It is.
It's an emoji. They're going to remove it. Watch.
Well, they have
it's
flipping it off, people.
So anyway, so I know we were just talking about, you know, the OK sign, but before we get into this next topic, did you see the crazy shit that's going on in basically in Washington? The Venezuelan embassy went dark yesterday?
No, I have not heard about this.
What happened?
Why?
So the activists took it over. Apparently they were invited by, how do you say the president's name, Maduro?
Nicolas Maduro. Yeah,
yeah, Maduro. And all these activists took it over, and apparently they lost water and power, and there's protesters outside. This is getting no coverage.
This is the embassy in Washington, D.C.
The
Venezuelan embassy.
And it's just, they're
done, dude. I mean, they're at the verge of a civil war. But you realize
they took over the building.
In this country.
So wait a minute. Let's think.
That's Venezuela.
I know.
It's Venezuela. Sovereign territory. Yeah.
It's sovereign territory. But it's still, it's just crazy how it's happening on U.S. soil, regardless of that.
I think people are just done.
The craziness, man.
They're done, dude. Yeah. Nicolas Maduro is killing people, man.
Yeah.
And the Venezuela in 1990 something. Reached the epitome. It was the wealthiest Latin American country.
Oil.
It had oil.
Had everything.
And in a matter of what? 20 years, dude.
Yeah.
They went from the richest to the poorest country, dude. People are starving. Literally, there's videos of people following garbage trucks, eating from the garbage truck. They're starving, dude. But everybody is like, look at socialism. Yeah. Look at Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders was out there during, this is 5-6 years ago, saying Venezuela was a great example of where socialism is working.
This was how long ago?
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
So 15 years into the decline?
No. So it didn't actually, it escalated rapidly.
Start? Yeah.
Okay.
In the last 6 years.
Because he was messing with the oil.
Socialism works great until you run out of other people's money.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. And then it drops real
People
quick.
Think, this seems to be working. But at the end of the day, the productive realize, hey,
yeah,
I'm supporting all these people.
Right.
Done.
I'm going to move next door to, wherever. I'll go to Brazil and buy parrots.
Anyway.
So real quick, before we get into this next topic, because I know we've been getting in this, political jargon. I got an interesting story real quick. Right. And then I'm going to ask some questions to you guys. I'm going to change up the format a little bit. It's simple. You don't have to think much.
Yeah.
This is a crazy story. So we were in Minnesota, right? We get off the plane. Yeah. Right. And what's crazy is in the airport, there's airport security in there.
Oh,
M16s, dude. M16s.
What?
I very seldomly have seen true M16. Hold on. M16 guards roaming around the airport. Right. So, all right, cool. So now.
Were they military?
No, it's police.
Police.
Oh,
like SWAT. Wow.
So he had an AR-15. Yeah. I think they call it a tactical.
Yeah.
It's basically it lays right here and you can pull it. You can flick it out real quick if you need to.
Yep.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Continue your story.
So now we're like, all right, that's cool. So we call Lyft to go come pick us up. And at the airport, it's actually pretty cool. They actually have a whole designated area that says, ride sharing area, right?
Yeah,
passenger
app,
pickup.
App sharing.
Yeah. App share, whatever.
Yeah.
So, we see the sign. We walk over to the sign. Cool. Now we're looking for our Lyft driver. He's, Jeremy's looking on the phone. Oh, he's here. And we're looking. I'm like, oh, he must be across the street waiting in front of the terminal.
Yeah, because Lyft tells you, it's a silver. Mm-hmm. Ours was a silver Prius. It's like, oh, yeah, there it is. And it tells you the license plate. And Tim kind of hops across the street and goes, oh, yeah, that's the license plate. He's over there. So I call the guy. I'm like, we see you. We'll head right on over.
So now... So we go head over. Hey, what's going on, dude? So we start loading the luggage. Now, Mr. Man with the, you know, AR-15 comes right up to the guy. And he's like, why are you picking him up here? You're supposed to be across the street. And he's like, the guy kind of like ignored him at first. He's like, nah, whatever. And the guy's like, no. They crossed the street to come back to you because you're in the right.
He saw us come back across the crosswalk over to him.
Yeah.
This dude literally was, I thought he was going to shoot him. Honestly, he was like in this guy's face. Like he made it a point because as he's yelling at the guy, you know, because the guy was Muslim, right? Sitting there looking at him, grilling him. Give me your license. You won't be able to come to the airport for a year.
Yes.
Or you're going to lose your, or you write a ticket. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, what?
Yeah. So apparently there's some sort of documentation. Maybe you have to apply or something to get a permit to pick up at the airport. And this guy was threatening to take that away from him. He's like, either I take this away from you for a year and you can't pick people up at the airport, or I write you $153 ticket. And the guy's like, well, I need that. Just write me a ticket because I don't, you know, I have a choice. And I'm thinking to myself, this is an $8, you know, Lyft ride. Right. This guy is not going to be making this back the rest of the day.
Yeah. So as he's doing this and just basically like ridiculing the guy. How long you been doing this job? You don't know to go here. And I'm like, what the hell? And as he's doing it, this guy's looking at me kind of like smirking. I'm like, whoa, what is going on over here?
Right. So
he was basically doing it on purpose.
Unfortunately, I was inside the car already in the back seat. And so Tim's kind of standing outside watching this interaction. So I didn't see any of it. And so it's hard for me.
And I'm looking at the cop and at the guy, and I'm like, like, stop. Like, I give him the shoulder strike because he's kind of like giving me the smirk, like, I'm just messing with him, like, haha, because I don't like this guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, this was 100% to me, like, prejudice.
Well, right. So Tim.
I don't know. I mean,
So Tim does express, he's like, you know, he thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, you felt it was racially motivated or.
Oh, yeah. The way this guy was doing it, like.
My opinion on being in the same situation that Tim was in. My opinion is the guy was just an asshole, right? And that's not to say that he doesn't deal with this day in and day out with these people pulling up to the wrong places. Now, if he has this permit that says you're allowed to pick these people up at the airport, I am sure that there is something in that document that says you must go to the proper place and pick these people up, right? So if this guy who's carrying this AR-15 around with him is being a dick against this Lyft driver, I don't necessarily think it was because of his race. It was because the fact that he should have known better. And this poor guy, this police officer, is dealing with this day in and day out with these people just doing.
But the questions he was asking, the way he was doing it, like, how long you been doing this?
Don't get me wrong. He was from here.
He was from here. And when he kept looking at me and smiling like I'm just messing with this guy, I was like, well, yo, okay. this guy was even respectable to you. Right. You know what I mean? Like the Lyft driver wasn't being nasty to him.
All right, here's the deal. I didn't see anything. Okay, but. Did he give him a ticket?
No.
No, he wound up letting him go.
Right. So to me, he's just being an ass.
He's flexing his muscle.
Yeah, he's just, look, you don't know his heart. You don't know his heart. You don't see it. You don't know what, he didn't say any racial slurs or anything like that.
But it just seemed
No, but you got to be
a little bit more motivated.
You cannot put
motivation behind a person unless he gave him the ticket and then said some racial slurs, because then it's just... You are making assumptions that I don't think you should be making.
So the driver was apparently Middle Eastern, right? We can agree that. But what if it was a Mexican and the guy did the same thing? Would he be racist then?
Well,
or black or any
or black least, or so white or whatever.
But you're supposed to be nicer to somebody because they're... Go ahead.
My dad used to be a police officer. And what he would do is when he would pull somebody over, he would either lecture them like the police officer's doing and not give them a ticket, or he would not say anything and just give them a ticket and send them on their way. Because either way, it's going to scare them enough to not do it again.
Right.
So a lot of the times that's the way you're doing it. In reality, he probably didn't really care. Tim, he was probably like, I don't give a fuck about this.
Jeremy made a valid point.
No, a simple conversation to the guy, cool. But he was getting worse and worse. I'm like...
Again, what Jeremy said is how many times has this happened?
Day in and day out.
What the heck? Jesus Christ. Anyways, how many times... Oh, wow. Seriously?
All right.
How many times has this happened and where he has to deal with this, right, on a day-to-day basis?
He got this permit. On the permit, it is clear, like Jeremy says.
We don't know.
I said I assumed that it's...
If you're driving to the airport and you need this permission, I'm pretty sure that
that's what I'm saying.
You need to stop at designated areas. Now, either the guy... Look, because you don't know. Maybe they'd like to do this because they don't want to deal with having to go.
The guy even showed me the phone. He goes, dude, he goes, look at the phone. He goes, it said pick you up right here.
The reason he gave for stopping at the wrong part is because the GPS on the Lyft app told him we were still in the terminal when we had gone across the street to the other side.
But if there's a designated area, he should stop and call you and say, hey, look, I'm in a designated area. You're going to have to come here.
And we would have seen him coming and it would have been a non-issue. But yeah, I understand
again,
the idea.
It is not good because you're making assumptions.
No, you're right. No, I understand. But it just seemed way overkill. Overkill.
Look, I know people who they get pulled over by a cop and they're like, oh, because I'm brown. It's like, stop.
Yeah, because they never pull over white people.
Did you cross? Did you run the red light? Well, yeah, but still, I mean, okay, come on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I tell a family member of mine who was convinced that the cops were out to get her. And I always would be like, here's the deal. Don't break the law and you're not going to have to deal with. Can I finish my sentence? Don't break the law and you're not going to have to deal with dick cops. I want a cop to be a dick to people who break laws.
Right. But I don't even think that's a law. I really don't even think that's a law. It just says it's an area to pick it up. I don't think there's a law.
I'm sure it is.
If he could have written a ticket, then it's the law.
When the airport goes through the trouble of designating an area and placarding it as that area, there is a reason they're doing it. And they're telling people that.
Look at it from the cop's perspective, right? If, say, this person was somebody who, a terrorist or something, and then they see, look at the cop. He's just standing there. He doesn't do nothing. He didn't even, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's how they got to think. The cop is...
To back up even further, we were in the terminal at the baggage claim. We picked up our bags. We walked over to the... Was it the concession lady? Oh, no, it was the...
We went to the information area.
Yeah, the information area and said, hey, where do we go to get a lift? She's like, oh, yeah, there's a dedicated area. You go out door 6, you cross the crosswalk, it's over to your right. So it's known. It is known. I mean, the information lady knew where it was. So this is not, you know, cryptic stuff that's on the side of a soda can somewhere. It's legit. I would be really surprised if it's not on part of your requirement to get that permit to pick up at the airport that it says you must go there.
Here's my issue with let's call racism when racism is clear. Yes.
Right.
If he had said a derogatory term or done something that is obvious that he was isolating this guy, then by all means, I'll say, yes, you know what? That's racist. But just to put motive behind somebody just because they gave you a wink, maybe he was telling you, look, I'm just fucking with the guy. He should know better. Maybe that's what he was trying to tell you.
This is his job. He should know how to do his job.
And maybe he was just saying, look, I'm going to let him go. Don't worry about it. He was probably like trying to calm you down and so that you wouldn't.
I didn't. Shit. I'm just sitting there looking. I was like, really, dude? Like, get it over and done with. Like, you're wasting my time because I got somewhere to be.
So,
you know what I mean? Like, you either write him the ticket or
take his paperwork.
Like, you're holding up my day now. Because it's like,
but maybe
you're not,
he didn't want to do anything that's permanently going to affect him. He just wanted to tell him and get his point across.
You could have got it over real quick and said, look, next time, over there.
I think you're being dramatic.
No, this guy was way over the
top. Who cares? He didn't get a ticket. He didn't say anything racist. He didn't even take his permit. He just told him, look, dude, I'm getting tired of having to deal with people like this.
Right.
Stop doing this. I'm going to scare you so that you don't do it again.
I guarantee you that guy's not ever going to do it again.
No.
I don't think he wants to ever go to the airport again.
Well, he's going to have to. He's a Lyft driver.
Yeah.
But anyways, there were other police officers at the airport, right? None of the other ones, I don't remember at least seeing other ones carrying AR-15s. Do you remember
that? That was the only one I remember seeing carrying.
Well, I remember seeing, there was another guy out on the outside.
Yeah, the normal cop. Yeah, right. but he wasn't. No. I only saw one guy with an AR-15.
The whole reason why I'm saying this guy was doing it just because he was an asshole is because I feel he was carrying that AR-15 that wasn't police issued.
Mm.
It was his personal one. Cause I looked at it. I know a little bit about AR-15s and it had a lot of add-ons, right? Like personalized add-ons. The police department's not going to give you a gun with those add-ons, right? Really? They're unnecessary expenses that the government's not going to pay for. So this was most likely his personal AR, and he was just, frankly, if you're carrying one around like that at your job, even if you're a police officer, you're doing it because you're a dick. And he was a dick, and he treated this guy like he was a dick.
Well,
but then again, I also understand the fact that he's dealing with this day in and day out. And, you know, how do you stop people from doing something that you don't want them to do? You treat them
right.
Yeah, it was nice. It just seemed way over the top. Like,
I don't know. I would rather that than getting a ticket or getting my permit.
Yeah. Right. No, what I'm saying is, if you tell them, look,
scared straight kind of an approach.
Yeah. Right. But my thing is, look, don't waste 10 minutes doing this. This was like a 10-minute fucking ordeal, and I'm like, shit.
Well, it would have taken even longer to write a ticket.
Right.
You ever think about that?
No, but if you would have just wrote him a ticket, done. Hey, you got a ticket.
Yeah, and then it would be on his record, and then it would affect his job, and then it would also infect his auto insurance. And does he really want to fuck this guy over?
No, it wasn't a moving violation. It's just
still, no matter what, it's not a moving violation. It still goes on your record.
No.
Yeah, it does. Parking tickets do.
Is the airport private property?
Yeah.
It's probably owned by the city.
I don't know.
I'm unsure.
Or the state?
I know the airport. I know what is the Phoenix FAA owns. No, the cities own them.
Yeah,
the FAA. I guess it would be city property. So do they have the right to actually, you know, where do the rights end on that?
Same as schools.
It's not private. I know it's not private property because Phoenix, Goodyear, and Deer Valley airports in Phoenix are all owned by the city of Phoenix. Mm. So they control those.
Even doesn't Sky Harbor do that too?
Sky Harbor, Goodyear Airport.
You know what's a good way to know? Was it local cop?
It said airport security, airport police. So even that, like that, it's all.
I think if it was under their jurisdiction, it would have like they must have had like some.
Right. So if it was an airport police officer, he would have the ability to revoke. I would assume he'd have the ability to revoke his permit to pick people up because that would be the extent of what the airport could control. Right. They can't, you know, throw people in jail and write tickets for people.
How bad? I don't know that rule.
He might not have been able to do that. He might have just been fucking with this guy. Right. He might have been messing with this guy too. I don't know the Minnesota laws. He could have just been messing with this guy. I mean, when that guy got in the car, he was shook. Like that guy was shook when he first got
messed
in.
Right, because he almost lost his significant amount of money.
Well, the guy's holding an AR-15. I mean,
cops have guns on them all the time. It doesn't matter if it's an AR-15 versus
tasers,
a handgun.
Glocks,
both of them are going to kill you.
All kinds of
Power. There are some people. Certain type of people who pursue these type of careers because they like power. I'm not gonna be naive about it. I understand. Look, I've ran into dick cops. So I'll tell you one. I had a cop pulls me over, right? He asked me for my ID. And I had ran a stop sign. I didn't stop completely, you know. It was one of those
California stops.
Yeah, you know, and I went.
And he's okay in Arizona.
He's he's like right there and he's like
pulls me, a ticket for that too.
He pulls me over and I'm like, God damn it. He ask him for my ID and all that stuff. I give him my ID and he says, he's like, you're 5'3"? This is exactly what he did, dude. I'm not kidding. He looks into the window. He's like, you look taller than that. I am not kidding. He looks at my legs.
Is that a dick thing? I feel like that's a compliment. I'm like, oh my God, thank you.
No, he looks at my legs. He's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Man versus woman.
You're 5'3".
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, he can barely reach the pedals.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
No, but he did. He looked in and he's like, oh, okay. I thought you were taller, man.
Like,
I was like, okay, that's
thanks.
Thank you.
So do you think DMV would like, because you get to choose. They don't measure you. You just pick your height.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Six foot three.
Exactly right.
Stupid.
Anyway, yeah. So I've ran into my fair share.
I've gotten a ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit in the middle of Arizona, or in the middle of California desert.
California. No. Welcome
California
to the
desert.
People's Republic of California.
Yeah. People's Republic of China.
Cops can be jerks everywhere. Same as like when you go to the DMV. Not everybody that works there is a gym. You know what I mean? Like
let me tell you something. No, Minnesota had. They have some of the nicest TSA agents. They're all like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, whoa.
Minnesota nice, man.
Like,
Minnesota.
Truly Minnesota
that's
nice.
That's what
like,
they're known people for, yeah. Minnesota nice.
Really?
Dude, New York?
Yeah.
You say hello to the guy. You go, hey, you know, you go up, hey, how's it going?
You've never heard the term Minnesota nice.
I've never heard Minnesota nice.
Yeah. No. Let me see what I'm...
Oh, yeah. No.
But, so when we went through Phoenix, right, we left from Phoenix, went to Minnesota, and you know, the, I guess I'm used to Phoenix because that's always where I leave from. And they're just, you know, kind of blah, right? Nah. And so one of the things that bothered me, speaking of TSA, we're coming back from from Minnesota, and we're going through the TSA inspection, and there's signs in the waiting line that says you do not need to remove light jackets or your shoes. So I'm like, oh great, I fell for that too. And yeah, and so I'm thinking, oh yeah, we had had this conversation. I think it was Tim and I had this conversation about how, you know, they're each site is kind of like they run by their own rules. Like some places you have to take your laptop out of the bag, and some places you have to take your shoes off, and some places you don't have to do either of those.
I
have to
take books out of my backpack. Like I had like a couple of books that I was reading, and like if it's paper.
So I'm sitting there waiting because there's that first guy that you show your boarding pass and your ID to, and he puts a little yellow mark on it, and then he lets you go through the security scan, right? And so when we're in that line, I'm looking at the signs, and it says you do not need to, you know, light jackets and shoes can keep those on. I'm like, perfect. And I get up there and I load my backpack and my laptop in another bag, and I put my phone and all my other crap in the other container, and I'm rolling it through, and I look over, and the person next to me has their shoes are sitting on the thing, and I'm like, and I asked the guy behind the counter, I'm like, do I have to take my shoes off? Oh, I got to take your shoes off. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Your sign 20 feet away says I don't have to do this, and now you're telling me I have to do it. And so I took my shoes off and I threw them on the counter, and I was just like, whatever.
TSA is a joke, in my opinion. I'm just going to throw that out.
They are.
TSA is a joke.
Yeah.
That whole 3.5 ounces of, dude, I'm tired of this. I mean, I pay for pre-check just so that I don't have to sit on that line and deal with that BS.
Do you have to take your shoes off on
pre-check? No. He got to run through with me in Miami. We just went through. We had all our equipment. We just put it right through. Done. We don't have to do nothing.
Yeah, it's all a big joke.
I don't feel safer. I don't know. I don't feel safer with TSA. I felt safer seeing the guy with M16s, just like they do in Israel. You put 100 of those guys with M16s, and when, as soon as you walk in, the eye in the sky is looking at everybody, I'm okay with
that. So I have actually flown into Israel in the Ben Gurion airport. And the way that they do, I'm telling you, dude, you want to complain about the TSA? Dude, Israel, this is what they do. I'm not kidding.
They profile you.
No. They do this to everybody. They pulled us aside. I'm not kidding you. One person, there's two people. This is how it was back, 15, 16 years ago. One person it literally opens up your luggage in front of you. And this is a line. Everybody's waiting. One person opens up your luggage in front of you and just going through everything. And then the other person's interviewing you, saying, why are you here? What are your purposes? Okay. When do you leave? Just those type of questions.
Sure.
Meanwhile, you know, you're being asked these questions and you keep looking at your luggage and you're like, oh, come on, man. You're like,
yeah.
And then,
why are you messing up my drawers?
They put your thing aside and like, okay, now you can, you know, they don't even put it back together.
Yeah.
Clean yourself up, basically.
Throw a towel.
Here you go.
Oh, that's crazy.
You left there with like your underwear out in the open. You're like,
when we were in Minnesota, we went with a third person, a coworker of ours, and we sat in actually my room, had a couple of drinks, and we talked about TSA and how, you know, what is the answer. And I think we kind of came to the conclusion that the answer is just get rid of it all.
Yeah, get rid of it.
My argument for getting rid of it all was before 9/11, it was always you hear about hijackers hijacking a plane in the Middle East, right? And they land it in some airstrip out in the middle of nowhere, and they say, we want $1 million or these people are going to die. Right. And then, of course, whatever happened, and those people got off the plane safe. So when 9/11 happened, the people were assuming that the hijackers on that plane, when they rushed to the front of the plane, they're like, oh, shit, what's going on? And when they realized they were being hijacked, they're like, oh, well, they'll just land us in Pennsylvania somewhere. And, the government will negotiate and we'll be fine. Well, now it's perfectly clear that that is not going to happen.
Right.
If they hijack your plane, most likely you are going to die. And so the people on that plane are going to risk their lives to stop that now.
Yeah.
Whereas before 9/11. They weren't. They were just going to let it happen and be like, all right, well, we'll see our families in a couple of days because we're going to get hijacked and sent to some place we weren't going to go. But that's not the case anymore. So the idea of hijacking a plane doesn't make sense anymore. Right. They've fortified the cockpits so you can't get in to begin with. And there's people on that plane that aren't going to put up with it anymore. Why are we going through Billy all Bob. This?
Doesn't every airplane now have somebody who has a gun in there?
Not everyone. No. You're talking about air marshals?
Air marshals.
No. See, it's like 1% of all the air traffic that has.
Here's what I would say.
But the point is, you don't need air marshals. You got Jim Bob from Arkansas on the front seat. Like he ain't putting up with that shit.
No. Yeah.
He is going to snap a neck if he sees someone rushing that
cabin.
Yeah, and it's so a different mentality.
The whole idea that we need to go through all of this, take off your shoes, take off your pants, take off your belt, take off your headphones.
Take off your pants? What are you talking about? Wait.
You did that.
There was a few people in line, they should have took their pants off. Anyway, I would have been like, hey-o.
You have too much liquid.
Anyways, you have more than 4 ounces of liquid. This is all bullshit.
It is.
If someone is going to try to hijack a plane, it's not going to happen anymore.
Right.
Oh, I agree. It's just not going to happen.
You know what's even more? You know what's even more BS? There's another pet peeve about flying. Hey, you have 51 pounds in your bag. You need to put it in your carry-on. Homie. Is it going into the same plane? Mm-hmm. So the plane still weighs the same. So tell me why. I actually did ask an agent finally, because I got pissed. Because I got charged in Southwest when I went to Costa Rica. And the guy said, it's a union thing. If it's over 50 pounds, we have to charge more because,
somebody can't lift 50 pounds.
Their contract says they only lift 50 pounds. If they have to lift more, you have to pay for it. Bitch.
That makes so much sense.
Everything is a tax. So if you look at your airlines, right? Now you're paying a bag fee. Then you look at your taxes. There's a 9/11 fee. There's a TSA fee. It's all bullshit. Sorry, pardon my language, guys. But man,
here's what happens:
those scanners that you step in, you put your arms up, and it whips around you.
Yeah,
those things are millions of dollars a piece, and they put them in all of the airports.
I don't feel the same.
And I still have to get searched after.
They just want to grab your boobs. They just want to grab your boobs.
You guys remember who said this term?
Frisky.
You know the words that scare me the most. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Who said that?
Reagan? Probably.
Yeah, I think he said that. Those are the scariest words is like when the government, I'm here to help. Because it's true. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, we've got to talk about Alejandro Ocasio-Cortez.
And Bernie Sanders. And Bernie.
Nobody gives a shit.
We'll get him next time.
Still a socialist.
No free credit cards.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
I want free
credit cards. See you next time. Adios.
Cash rules everything around me.